It's a healthy audio treat. Radio MD presents Family Food Kitchen with Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
Genetically modified organisms. Ooh, it's a long, long phrase of three words that, you don't want to eat them, much less than feed them to your family, because sadly, they are not good for us. There are all kinds of researchers coming up just talking about how they're producing toxins and allergens and carcinogens and nutritional deficiency. The list is long, long, long. And unfortunately, Monsanto has infected the U.S. farming fields with these GMO seeds. And so it's very hard for us to avoid them. But here to help us and actually share some really good news with us is Melissa Diane Smith. She's author of Going Against GMOs, a book you must have. If you have any questions about GMOs, get her book, Going Against GMOs, because it's from A to Z, got it all covered. But she's, as I said, she has a really good news for us. Melissa, let's start off right now with number one good news. I'm so excited. What is it?
Well, the good news is that restaurants, retailers, food manufacturers, schools, and a large wave of countries are looking at the evidence that's piling up about the risks of genetically modified foods and saying no to them. So it's not just customers who don't want to eat them. People in all different types of positions in business, schools, governments, even some doctor organizations, are learning the unhealthy truth about genetically modified foods and rejecting them. That means the non-GMO movement is not just from the bottom up. It's a movement that's coming from all sides. And that's a really good indication that GMOs can and will be kicked out of the market more quickly than most people realize.
You know, it's amazing how in such a short time, because GMOs have been around for a long time. They've been around since I did research. They certainly were here in the 80s and nobody knew about it, what they were doing. So it is gradually leaked out. But suddenly we're having a flip the switch. We're not standing for this anymore, which I'm just so, so glad. And I know you're a big part of that, and I do appreciate that a lot. But let's continue with the good news. So you're saying it's coming from all sides. I want to go out for dinner. Now, how in the heck am I going to know if I'm going to have GMO foods at a restaurant? Or will they tell me? Or how do I know? Is anybody on the bandwagon in the restaurant business?
Yes, there is. The real trailblazer in that movement in the restaurant department is Chipotle Mexican Grill. In April of this year, 2015, Chipotle became the first restaurant chain remove all direct sources of genetically modified organisms in the ingredients it uses in its cooking. So what that means is the tortillas, the corn, the rice, the beans, the vegetables, the chips, the salsa, and the marinades used to cook the meats all are not genetically modified. And the chain also is now using GMO-free sunflower oil and rice bran oil in place.
Whoa.
Soybean oil it used to use. So, it's changed a lot. It should be noted that many of the beverages sold in its restaurants contain genetically modified ingredients, such as soft drinks that contain corn syrup. And the meat and the dairy served at Chipotle are likely to come from animals given at least some GMO feed. But the company says it is working to source meat and dairy exclusively from animals never fed GMOs. So what it's done already is a huge accomplishment for such a large restaurant chain. And there also are just a growing number of locally owned restaurants across the country taking GMOs out of the foods they offer on their menus. For example, the Tucson Tamale Company based in Tucson, where I live, wanted to offer non-GMO tamales when they first opened in 2008, but they had limited financial and space resources to do that. They eventually were able to. First, in 2010, they switched to non-GMO organic corn masa, and then in 2013, they switched the oil they were using from canola, which is a common genetically modified oil, to sunflower oil, which isn't GMOs. And in cases such as Tucson Tamale Company, it's the owners themselves who learn about the many risks associated with GMOs and decide they want to remove GMOs off the menu. So, you know, the owner of that company, I was interviewing him for a story I wrote, and what he said to me is, there are so many reasons to be non-GMO. Even if nobody cared about it, we were always going to go non-GMO. So I think that's
very fantastic.
Good news.
Yeah, bravo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's great that those smaller restaurants are being able to do it more. And I think part of that is because, fortunately, in the retailer side, we've also seen a growth in products available with the non-GMO seal. Is that just a perception, or can you give us some facts on that, that indeed there are more products available to us now that are certified non-GMO?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that the number of products that have the non-GMO seal has just skyrocketed. Also, there is a huge demand from customers for more organic foods as well. But I think the trend really in restaurants is for local restaurants to try to use more locally grown organic produce and meats. And so that's really good news for the non-GMO movement.
Yay, bravo to that. I was, when you mentioned products, I read in your notes that you sent to us that McCormick's herbs and spices are non-GMO. I nearly fell off my chair. I was just so surprised that a company of that size would take that action, and that's a big deal. So are they the only ones, or are there other name products that brands that we should be mentioning to our listeners so they can know to go buy them?
Yeah, well, they just recently announced that by 2016 they will be going non-GMO and organic with the huge majority of the herbs, spices, and even the vanilla extract it sells. And that's important because vanilla is often made with kind of an extreme form of genetic engineering called synthetic biology. So that really is kind of a big news. But, no, there are others. In 2014, General Mills responded to consumer pressure and took the GMOs out of the original Cheerios breakfast cereal it sells. A few days later, Post Foods revamped its original grape nut cereal to remove the genetically modified ingredients. And, you know, you can go to the Non-GMO Project website at non-GMOproject.org and read all kinds of products that have gone non-GMO. So it really is a huge growing movement.
That's great. And I'm just so glad to see it growing and growing and growing. Now, if I am a mom at home or a dad or just a working person, how can I support this movement? I believe in it. So what can I do as my lonely self to make an impact on this?
Well, it's really important for us to do whatever we can. And for most of us, that just means learning how to shop and eat non-GMO. There's a really easy way to do that over the course of a month is follow the Eat GMO Free Challenge. That's a tip a day for 31 days. That's in my Going Against GMOs book. And you can also find it at eatgmofreechallenge.com. You know, we shouldn't be on hold waiting for labeling. You'll go a long way following the tips in the challenge. And you can learn just over the course of a month how to take GMOs out of your diet.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Melissa, for being with us. Another way is to share this podcast with your friends so that you do support going against GMOs. Like we always say, don't be part of the problem, be a part of the solution. To learn more from Melissa Diane Smith, look at her website, and that's melissadianesmith.com. You'll find her book, Going Against GMOs, right there. And you can always come back to the Family Food Kitchen on RadioMD.com to find our past episodes and listen to them again or share with a friend. In the meantime, always eat well and stay well.